This program is intended for a print-impaired audience and is brought to you by Audio Journal. Welcome to Audio Journal's Children's Hour. The selections for this hour are designed for school-age listeners. We will read books, poems, and other children's print material. This program is supported in part by the Memorial Foundation for the Blind and the Massachusetts Commission for the Blind. My name is Holly Miller, and I'm so excited to be with you today. I'll start by reading Amelia Bedelia Means Business by Herman Parrish. Amelia Bedelia needed to earn some money. The truth was, Amelia Bedelia needed to earn a lot of money. It all started innocently enough when Amelia Bedelia decided that she wanted a new bike. But then one thing led to another, until the mayor of Amelia Bedelia's town finally said, "That Amelia Bedelia, she means business." Here's what happened. Amelia Bedelia adored her bike. It was a great bike. It was fast and dependable, and she had learned to ride on it. She could tell you how it had gotten every dent. She could tell you what had chipped each fragment of paint from the frame, and what had made those rusty scratches on the chrome. She could match each insult to her bike to an injury on her body, scabs on her knees, scrapes to her elbows, bruises on her shins, and a tiny sliver of a scar under her chin. Amelia Bedelia had parked her bike at the bike rack. She was about to go into school when she saw some kids buzzing around Suzanne Scroggins. Suzanne was the new girl this year. She told all her friends to call her Susie. Amelia Bedelia still called her Suzanne, even though Amelia Bedelia sat right behind her. Amelia Bedelia had never figured out why Suzanne was so crabby and bossy every day. Every day except for today, of course, since it was the last day of school before vacation. Amelia Bedelia noticed the difference right away. Suzanne was smiling from ear to ear. Then Amelia Bedelia saw why. Suzanne had a new bike. It was the most beautiful bike in the world. T-H-E bike was painted a rich emerald green, with metal flakes that sparkled like diamonds floating just beneath the smooth enamel surface. Gleaming chrome reflected the morning sun, dazzling Amelia Bedelia's eyes. She tried to look away, but she could not take her eyes off the bike. It hurt to look. It hurt more not to look. Every inch of the bike was so streamlined that it looked as though it was now moving, even after Suzanne had parked it. From the back of her throat, Amelia Bedelia managed to croak, "Nice bike."
"Thank you," said Suzanne.
The bell rang. It was time to go inside. As Suzanne locked her bike at the rack, she said,
"Don't forget to lock up your bike, Amelia Bedelia."
That's when the truth hit Amelia Bedelia. She had never locked her bike. She didn't have to, because it wasn't worth stealing. Who would want it after seeing T-H-E bike? Amelia Bedelia didn't, that's for sure. Everyone followed Suzanne into school, leaving Amelia Bedelia to ponder the difference between the two bikes. She felt bad for her bike. She felt bad about feeling bad about her bike. She felt bad, period. Finding out that life was unfair was no way to start the day. And it was certainly no way to start school vacation. That afternoon after school, Amelia Bedelia avoided everyone, even her friends. She hid behind the dumpster, listening to the laughter and the jokes. Finally, Amelia Bedelia got on her bike and rode home. She took the back way so no one would see her.
"And please," said Amelia Bedelia, "bring me a new bike. Amen."
After she finished saying grace, Amelia Bedelia dove into her supper. Her parents did not begin to eat. They just looked at her, then at each other.
Her mom arched an eyebrow as high as it would go. Her dad opened his eyes super wide for a couple of seconds. Had Amelia Bedelia been paying attention instead of twirling her spaghetti and dreaming about bikes, she would have seen the secret eye talk that all parents use to communicate with each other when their kids are present. Amelia Bedelia's father unfolded his napkin, spread it on his lap, and then asked, "So, has anyone seen any nice bikes lately?" Amelia Bedelia sat up straight without having to be told and exclaimed, "You wouldn't believe the bike I saw today." She spent the next 10 minutes giving her parents an inch-by-inch description of the most beautiful bike in the world, down to the last spoke. "Goodness," said Amelia Bedelia's mother, "a bike that special must cost an arm and a leg." Amelia Bedelia shook her head. "I would never pay that much," she said. "You need both your arms to steer a bike like that and both legs to pedal it."
"That's a good point," said her father. "You certainly need to be big and strong to ride a bike like that."
"Yes," said her mother. "So take a bite of your broccoli before it gets cold." Amelia Bedelia took an extra large bite.
"How far away is Christmas?" she asked.
"A long way away," said her mother. Amelia Bedelia took a much smaller bite of her broccoli.
"How far away is my birthday?"
"Even further," said her father.
"Did I get all my allowance this week?"
"Every penny," said her father.
"Could I get an early Christmas present and an early birthday present? A new bike is the only thing you'd ever have to give me ever for years and years."
"Well," said her mother, "I think it would be better if a bike wasn't just given to you." Amelia Bedelia looked down at her plate. Since she was looking at her plate, she once again missed the eye talk between her parents. This time her mom's eyes grew wider, while both of her dad's eyebrows arched high enough to graze the ceiling.
"I agree," said her dad. "You should work for a new bike and earn the money for at least half of it."
Amelia Bedelia smiled and looked at her parents.
"Which half costs more?" she said. "The front half or the back half?"
"They don't sell bikes that way, honey," said her mother.
"We can't afford to buy a fancy bike like that," he said. "But I can meet you halfway."
Amelia Bedelia slid off her chair. She walked exactly halfway around the table and stood there. Her mom and dad stared at each other, then back at her.
"Okay," said Amelia Bedelia. "Here I am. Are you going to meet me halfway or not?"
Amelia Bedelia's dad stood up and walked halfway around the table to meet her. He said,
"We will pay for half the cost of a new bike, but you will have to pay for the other half."
He held out his right hand. Amelia Bedelia looked at it.
"I can't pay you for half tonight," she said.
"Of course not," said her father. "Tonight we will make an agreement. In business, when you agree to do something, you shake the other person's hand."
Amelia Bedelia grabbed his wrist and shook his hand as hard as she could, up and down, up and...
"Ow," said her father.
"Not like that, sweetie," said her mother. "This is how you shake hands." Her mother showed her how to shake hands with her father. "Make it a firm handshake," she said. Then her parents gave each other a hug.
"You should probably leave out the hug part, sweetie," said her mother.
"Why?" asked Amelia Bedelia. "I love Dad."
She shook her father's hand and then her mother's hand. Then Amelia Bedelia hugged both of them together. When they were all hugged out, Amelia Bedelia's father said,
"Now, Amelia Bedelia, let's have dessert and talk about how you're going to earn your half of the bike."
Since the next day was Saturday, Amelia Bedelia and her parents did what they always did on Saturday. After Amelia Bedelia's swimming lesson, they had lunch at Pete's Diner. Pete was mobbed. They had to sit at the counter instead of their favorite booth. Amelia Bedelia loved sitting at the counter. She loved being close to the action, hearing the orders called out, watching them get filled, and seeing everyone working together to make the diner run smoothly.
While they waited for their food, Amelia Bedelia asked her parents what kind of jobs they had when they were growing up.
"I did all sorts of odd jobs," said her dad.
"My job doesn't have to be odd," said Amelia Bedelia. "I don't have to be a lion tamer or something unusual. It can be a normal, regular job, so long as it pays me a lot."
"When I was young," said her mother, "I worked as a waitress. I made buckets of money. My customers always gave me big tips."
"That sounds kind of fun," said Amelia Bedelia. "Did they ever tip you so much that you fell over?"
Before her mother could answer, the food arrived. Their usual waitress was so busy that the owner of the diner, Pete, served them.
"Sorry, folks," he said as he put down their plates. "I'm very short-handed today."
Amelia Bedelia looked closely at his hands. They looked like they were the regular length, not too short, not too long. Then she looked at the French fries in front of her.
"Yum," she said,
and she gave the ketchup bottle an extra hard squeeze. The ketchup squirt right over the top of the fries and onto Pete's clean white apron.
"Hey," shouted Pete, "look out, ketchup on the loose."
Amelia Bedelia thought she was in trouble until Pete chuckled and asked,
"Do I look like a French fry to you?"
"No," said Amelia Bedelia, "but you look like you need some help. Do you have a job for me?"
Pete looked at Amelia Bedelia's parents. They both smiled and shrugged.
"We come here every Saturday," said her father. "She knows your routine."
Her mother added, "She's a good worker. Amelia Bedelia will do exactly what you tell her to do. And she's on vacation now, so she has spare time."
Pete leaned forward to take a good look at Amelia Bedelia.
"I wonder," he said, "can you cut the mustard?" "I've never tried that," said Amelia Bedelia, "but I sure can squirt the ketchup."
Pete laughed.
"You sure can. Okay, I'll give you a try. You're hired. You can be an official Pete's Diner waitress in training."
Amelia Bedelia reached out and gave Pete a firm handshake. Was that his shorthand? She wondered.
"Congratulations, sweetie," said her mom.
"That's my girl," said her dad. "You landed your very first job."
"You're hired." Those were magic words to Amelia Bedelia. Those words meant that her dream bike would soon be a reality. She gobbled down her fries and said goodbye to her parents, then slid off her stool and skipped into the kitchen. Doris, their regular waitress, found her a uniform.
"This is the smallest size we've got, honey," Doris said.
Doris slipped the uniform over Amelia Bedelia's clothes. She tucked here and folded there. Finally, after a half a dozen safety pins had been pinned and a bunch of twisty ties had been twisted and tied, Amelia Bedelia was ready for action.
"You look nervous," said Doris. "Don't worry, I'll show you the ropes. Follow me."
How cool, thought Amelia Bedelia. What kind of ropes would Doris show her? Cowboy lassos, mountain climbing ropes, those thick lines that tie ships up to the pier. Maybe this would turn out to be an odd job after all.
"Well, well," said Pete when Amelia Bedelia and Doris came out of the kitchen. "Look at you." "I can't," said Amelia Bedelia. "There's no mirror."
"Well, believe me," he said, "you look like a real waitress. Now I have only one rule. Can you read that?"
He pointed to a sign over the cash register. Amelia Bedelia read the sign out loud.
"The customer is always right."
Someone, probably Pete, had underlined the word always in red.
"Just a reminder that the customer is always right," said Pete, "and you'll never go wrong around here."
Wrong, thought Amelia Bedelia. What could possibly go wrong? Amelia Bedelia went right to work. She did all the little things that Doris usually did but didn't have time to do on such a busy day. Amelia Bedelia refilled ketchup bottles, poured more salt and pepper into the shakers, folded napkins and got more sugar and sweetener packets. Most of all, she had fun.
Amelia Bedelia?
Amelia Bedelia nearly jumped out of her skin. Luckily, it was only Doris.
Calm down, honey,
Doris said.
Your mom was right. You're a good worker. Here's a treat. You deserve it.
She handed Amelia Bedelia a strawberry milkshake in a tall, frosty glass.
Thanks, Doris,
said Amelia Bedelia. As she took her first sip, a big man walked in and sat down at the counter. He was wearing a bright orange baseball cap and a patch on his shirt that said, Mike. Amelia Bedelia offered him a menu.
No thanks, he said. I know what I want.
Good, said Doris. That's easy as pie.
And I'm in a big hurry, he added.
No problem, said Doris. At Pete's Diner, fast service is a piece of cake.
I'm sure glad to hear that, he said. Please bring me a big piece of cherry pie.
Doris turned to Amelia Bedelia and said,
This is a simple one. You can fill his order while I go talk to the cook. I'll be back in a few.
Amelia Bedelia smiled and nodded to the man. Then she went to the dessert case. As she stood there gazing at all the yummy desserts, she realized that she had completely forgotten what the man had ordered. She turned her brain inside out. Was it easy as pie, or was it a piece of cake? Was it easier to bake a pie than a cake? You don't have to frost a pie. That's easier. But you don't have to roll out dough for a cake. Then again...
Hello there, Mike called. Did you forget me? I'm really in a hurry.
Fast, said Amelia Bedelia to herself. That's a piece of cake. That's it.
She brought him a piece of cake.
Cake? He said. I ordered pie.
Sorry, said Amelia Bedelia. I'm just learning.
I can tell, said Mike, and I'm late. Just bring me a piece of cherry pie and step on it.
Amelia Bedelia dashed off to get his pie, but now she was more confused than ever. Why did he want her to step on it? She remembered Pete's rule. The customer is always right. She dashed back to Mike and put his pie on the counter.
At last,
he said, sighing happily. As he lifted his fork to take his first bite, Amelia Bedelia climbed up onto the counter.
What are you doing? Asked Mike. Hey, get off the counter.
Just then, Pete came out of the kitchen.
What's all the commotion? He asked.
Amelia Bedelia, what are you?
Amelia Bedelia raised her foot and stepped on that tasty slice of pie with all her might. Gooey cherry pie filling spurted all over the counter, all over Mike, and all over Pete. Mike leaped to his feet.
That does it, he yelled. I'm out of here.
Wait, Pete called. He got an entire cherry pie from the dessert case and raced out to the parking lot after him. By the time Pete came back in, Doris had returned, and she and Amelia Bedelia had wiped off the counter. Amelia Bedelia felt awful.
I'm sorry about the mess on your apron,
Amelia Bedelia said to Pete. Pete looked at his apron. Then he said,
At least it matches that ketchup stain.
Doris laughed. Amelia Bedelia smiled.
I don't know what to say, Amelia Bedelia, but then I have to let you go.
Go where?
Asked Amelia Bedelia.
Go home, said Pete.
I'm sorry, too, said Amelia Bedelia. I wanted to see those ropes and cut some mustard, and I really wanted a big tip.
I've got a tip for you, said Pete. You should get an office job.
I don't think the world is ready for you to be a waitress.
Doris helped Amelia Bedelia out of her uniform. Then she slipped $5 into her pocket.
Here, honey, she said. You were the best waitress in training I've ever had.
Then Amelia Bedelia left and began the long walk home. Amelia Bedelia was glad she had to walk through the park to get home. Walking by the trees and flowers helped her think. What was she going to tell her mom and dad? Her very first job had lasted less than an hour. They might not feel so proud of her now. Amelia Bedelia spied a big bed of flowers.
I know, she said to herself. I'll bring Mom some flowers. Then she won't be mad at me.
She picked a bunch of flowers in different colors and surrounded them with a circle of daisies. Daisies were her mom's favorite, hers too. She had just finished making the bouquet when a policeman walked by.
Little girl, he said, where did you get all those flowers?
Right here, said Amelia Bedelia. I didn't leave many, but there's still enough for you.
The policeman looked where she pointed. You've cleaned out that entire flower bed, he said.
No, I didn't, said Amelia Bedelia. It's still very dirty.
The policeman shook his head.
You can't pick flowers in the park. They're for everyone who lives here to enjoy.
I live here, said Amelia Bedelia. So does my mom. I picked these for her.
You can't do that, the policeman said. In fact, you shouldn't even be standing here. Can you read that?
He pointed to a sign stuck in the lawn.
It says, keep off the grass, said Amelia Bedelia.
That means you, said the policeman.
Amelia Bedelia looked at her feet. Then she looked at the policeman's feet.
What about you? She asked.
You're standing on the grass, too.
The policeman looked annoyed.
Are you talking back to me? He said sternly.
Amelia Bedelia wasn't sure what to do. She wanted to answer him, but she'd have to talk back to do it. Finally, she said,
Yes, but you started talking to me first, so I talked back to you, then you talked back to me, and I talked back to you, so you...
The policeman blew his whistle.
Enough, he said. I'll let you off with a warning this time. Now take those flowers home to your mother.
I promise I will, said Amelia Bedelia as she waved goodbye. Thanks.
Amelia Bedelia walked slowly down the path. As soon as the policeman was out of sight, she sat down on a park bench to rest for a minute. A woman was sitting on the other end of the bench with her dog. She didn't look very happy. In fact, she looked very sad.
What lovely flowers, she said to Amelia Bedelia. I'd like to give them to you, said Amelia Bedelia, to cheer you up, but I just promised to take them to my mom. How sweet of you, said the woman. Then she blew her nose. Sorry if I look upset. My boss just gave me a pink slip. Sounds pretty, said Amelia Bedelia. Pretty, she said. It wasn't pretty at all. That's too bad, said Amelia Bedelia. Maybe pink isn't your color. My mom likes white slips with lace stuff on the top.
A curious look came over the woman's face. Then she burst out laughing and kept on laughing until tears streamed down her cheeks.
Thank you, she said. I needed a good laugh today. My name is Diana. What's yours?
I'm Amelia Bedelia.
Meet Buster, said Diana.
Her dog held up its paw for Amelia Bedelia to shake.
Wow, said Amelia Bedelia. Buster has a firm paw shake. Buster is the best, said Diana. He doesn't care that I was just let go from my job. Me too, said Amelia Bedelia.
Then she told Diana what had happened at Pete's Diner. Diana laughed even harder when she heard about stepping on the pie.
We've got a lot in common, said Diana. We've both been fired.
Amelia Bedelia was amazed to learn that being let go was the same as being fired.
Hey, Diana, maybe you should start your own business, she said.
Diana nodded. I think you're right, she said. Amelia Bedelia scratched Buster behind his ears and said goodbye to Diana, but she didn't get very far.
Excuse me, miss, excuse me.
A man was waving at her.
Miss, he said, I'm meeting someone here for the first time. Well, it's a date, and I told her I'd be carrying a bouquet. Would you please sell me yours?
It's for my mom, said Amelia Bedelia.
I'll pay you $10,
he said. Amelia Bedelia shook her head.
No, I promise.
How about $20?
He asked.
$20? Here you go.
Handing him the bouquet of flowers.
Thanks,
he said, handing her a crisp $20 bill.
$20?
Amelia Bedelia waved to Diana and was on her way once again. But then she heard a familiar voice. She peeked over her shoulder. The policeman had stopped the man with the bouquet. Amelia Bedelia began to walk faster.
Excuse me, sir, said the policeman. Those flowers look suspiciously like the ones that grow in the park. Where did you get them?
I just bought them, she heard the man answer. From a sweet little girl.
Amelia Bedelia began to trot.
What little girl?
Asked the policeman. Amelia Bedelia began to run. She darted through the park gates, running as fast as she could. By the time she got to her house, Amelia Bedelia was out of breath.
We got a call from Pete, said Amelia Bedelia's father. Next time, call us and we'll come get you.
There won't be a next time, said Amelia Bedelia.
Oh, sweetie, her mom said. It was a good try. Amelia Bedelia's parents smiled. They stopped when they saw Amelia Bedelia's lower lip begin to tremble.
It's no fun to get fired, sobbed Amelia Bedelia. Now I'll never get that bike.
Her parents hugged her and hoisted her up into their arms. Don't worry, they said. We have an idea.
You know, said Amelia Bedelia's father, your mom and I think you should start your own business. And there's one business that any kid can start.
What?
Said Amelia Bedelia.
A lemonade stand, said her dad.
Lemonade what?
Said Amelia Bedelia.
Stand,
said her dad.
Stand,
she said.
Stand what?
Lemonade,
said her dad.
Sure,
said Amelia Bedelia.
I can stand lemonade. I love lemonade.
Her father rolled his eyes and said,
I know you love lemonade, sweetie. That's why you should make a stand for it.
How come?
Said Amelia Bedelia.
Is someone trying to get rid of lemonade?
Amelia Bedelia's dad's face began to turn red.
Of course not, he said. You could run a stand.
Amelia Bedelia looked bewildered.
Dad,
she asked,
what do you want me to do? Run or stand?
Amelia Bedelia's mother had been in the kitchen, listening to them talk while she finished up. She sat down on the arm of her husband's chair. Amelia Bedelia, she said, remember last summer? We made fresh lemonade together.
It was delicious, said Amelia Bedelia.
And easy, said her mother. Do you remember how we made it?
You squeeze juice out of a lemon, mix it with cool water, add sugar until it tastes good, then throw in a couple of ice cubes.
Bravo, said her mother. Then what? Amelia Bedelia shrugged and said,
that's easy. You drink it.
Or, said her mother, you could sell it. What if you set up a table and made fresh lemonade? Thirsty people would stand in line to drink it. Amelia Bedelia bought 50 bags of lemons on sale. She used the money she'd saved from her last birthday, her tip from Pete's diner, plus the $20 she got for her bouquet. Her dad helped her build a stand that was easy to set up and take down. Have you thought of a name for yourself? Asked Mom.
My name is Amelia Bedelia, she said. That's the name you guys gave me.
A name for your business. Something catchy to get people's attention. Maybe you should advertise, said her mom. If people hear how good your lemonade is, they'll want to try it.
Advertise, said Amelia Bedelia. Like the commercials on TV for Wild Bill's Autorama?
Everybody knew about Wild Bill's Autorama. Bill owned a car dealership right downtown. He wore a white 10-gallon cowboy hat. In his TV ads, he shouted over and over and over that to get the best price, you had to buy your new car from Wild Bill's Autorama, the home of the sweet deal. Suddenly, Amelia Bedelia had a great idea. She remembered last summer that her parents had dragged her along to Wild Bill's to look at a new car with them. It was boring and hot. She could really have used a break. If she set up her stand near Wild Bill's Autorama, plenty of thirsty customers would line up for her lemonade when they were tired of looking at cars. Amelia Bedelia hopped on her awful, embarrassing piece of junk bike and rode down to Wild Bill's Autorama. She found the ideal spot for her stand, right near the entrance. Perfect. This was meant to be. She pedaled home as fast as she could, and she turned into her driveway. A great name for her business popped into her head.
"Mom," yelled Amelia Bedelia, "do you have any yellow paint left over from when you painted the kitchen? I need to make my sign."
"Sure, sweetie," said her mom. She gave Amelia Bedelia brushes and an old bed sheet. Amelia Bedelia spread the sheet out on the driveway and went to work. Her dad had told her to think big, so she drew a lemon as large as the kitchen table and outlined it with black marker. She was in the middle of writing the name for the business when her mom and dad came out to peek at what she was doing.
"Mom, Dad, stop," hollered Amelia Bedelia. "Don't look. I want you to be surprised."
The next day, Amelia Bedelia waited until just before lunchtime to open for business. She figured that by then, people would be hot and thirsty and bored enough to want a glass of lemonade. Her parents came along to help. Her dad set up her lemonade stand, while her mom unfolded the sign. They attached it to the bottom of the sign for Wild Bill's Autorama. Lots of lemons. Handmade lemonade.
"I squeezed a whole lemon into every glass. That's a lot."
Amelia Bedelia was so proud of her sign, she admired it while her dad set up chairs in front of the stand.
"Thanks, Daddy," said Amelia Bedelia. "Now my customers won't have to stand. This is more like a lemonade sit than a stand."
Her father kept checking his watch. "I have a surprise for you," he said. "I called the television station and told them about your business. They thought it was a cute idea. They're sending their news team to interview you." Amelia Bedelia jumped up and clapped her hands. "You'll be a story on News at Noon. That's way better than a commercial. It's a real deal." "Dad and I are going inside to look at the cars for a few minutes," said her mom. "We'll send some customers out here for you."
"Thanks," said Amelia Bedelia. "I'll get ready."
She cut lemons in half and put them in a big bowl ready to squeeze. Then she arranged the cups and ice. A few minutes later, a van from the Action News team pulled up. They were her first customers. A reporter and a cameraman walked up to the stand and introduced themselves to Amelia Bedelia. As she talked with them about her business, she made them each a lemonade. The cameraman started shooting the scene, while the reporter began interviewing Amelia Bedelia. "Ted Daly here, News at Noon, right outside Wild Bill's Autorama, where another business is having its grand opening, an old-fashioned lemonade stand run by this young lady." Ted Daly told the viewers how Amelia Bedelia made her lemonade, while the cameraman shot a close-up. "Amelia Bedelia makes every glass by hand. Just lemon juice, cool water, ice, and a bit of sugar," Ted Daly said. Amelia Bedelia handed Ted Daly a glass of lemonade.
"I use one lemon in each glass," she said. "That's a lot, but it tastes better. It's why I call my business Lots of Lemons."
As Amelia Bedelia pointed at the sign behind her, the camera pulled back so people watching on television could also see the sign for Wild Bill's Autorama. "You folks at home,
Take it from me, Ted Daly. Amelia Bedelia's lemonade may be a sweeter deal than you'll get at Wild Bill's Autorama.
Amelia Bedelia was thrilled. Her dad was right. Being on the news was great. Her lemonade was going to be famous. And maybe, just maybe, she'd make enough money to buy half of a new bike. That's when the camera began to jiggle up and down. The cameraman could not hold it steady because he was laughing so hard. Ted Daly turned around to see what was so funny. He looked at Amelia Bedelia's sign, too, and doubled over with laughter. Then Wild Bill himself came out to see what was going on. Amelia Bedelia was so impressed to see him in person. He was a real celebrity.
"Howdy, fellas," said Wild Bill. "What can I do for you?"
Ted and his cameraman tried not to laugh, but that just made it worse.
"What's so funny there, fellas?"
asked Wild Bill. Ted pointed to Amelia Bedelia's sign. He was laughing so hard he could barely stand up.
"Lots of lemons," read Wild Bill. "That's a sweet idea on a hot day like this."
Then the joke dawned on Wild Bill, too.
"Lots of lemons?" he bellowed. "Lots of lemons? I don't sell lemons. My cars are the best. My cars are not lemons."
"Of course not," said Amelia Bedelia.
"Cars are cars. Lemons are lemons."
She handed him a glass of her lemonade.
"Here," she said, "my treat."
"I'm not gonna stand for this," he said.
"You don't have to," said Amelia Bedelia. "Have a seat. That's why I brought chairs with me."
Wild Bill bent down to look at Amelia Bedelia eye to eye.
"Little lady," he said, "are you mocking me with your lemonade?"
"Oh, no, sir. You're famous," said Amelia Bedelia. She pointed at the TV camera. "Everyone knows you."
Wild Bill looked straight into the camera.
"Is this thing on?" he asked.
His face turned from white as a ghost to red to white again. He strode toward the camera, took off his cowboy hat, and used all 10 gallons of it to cover the camera lens. Like Diana's pink slip, the aftermath of Amelia Bedelia's lemonade stand fiasco was not at all pretty. Amelia Bedelia took cover in the car showroom until the grown-ups sorted things out. The TV station agreed to run Wild Bill's commercials for the next 3 months for free. Amelia Bedelia's parents agreed that she would not sell any more lemonade for 30 days. And then, if she still wanted to run her lemonade business, she would stay a mile away from Wild Bill's. Back home, Amelia Bedelia faced a new worry.
"What am I going to do with the 50 bags of lemons?" she moaned.
"You can make lemon squares, lemon marmalade, lemon tarts."
"Oh, Mom, lemons are tart to begin with," said Amelia Bedelia. "They were born tart."
"Yes," said her mom. "That's why a lemon tart is so tasty. You know what? I am craving lemon tarts right this minute. Let's make a big batch." They raced each other to the kitchen. Amelia Bedelia's mother gathered the ingredients, got out her tart pans, and showed Amelia Bedelia how to make lemon tarts. Amelia Bedelia and her mother and father each ate a slice of lemon tart as soon as they had cooled. As her dad savored his last bite, he squeezed his eyes shut and shivered.
"Wow, that was one tart."
"Bingo!"
Amelia Bedelia knew exactly how she would use up all her lemons. She would make lemon tarts for everyone she knew, adding extra lemons to make them extra tart and extra special. The next day, Amelia Bedelia got right to work. She discovered a small tart pan in the pantry. It was perfect. With just a little bit of help from her mom, she baked a dozen bite-sized tarts. She packed them carefully in her lunchbox and put that in the basket of her miserable, rusty, beat-up bike. Then she headed off to Pete's diner. As she took a shortcut through the park, Amelia Bedelia saw the pink slip lady sitting on the same bench as before. Only now, instead of having just one dog, she was surrounded by at least a dozen dogs of all shapes and sizes and colors.
"Hello, pink slip lady,"
Amelia Bedelia called out as she rode up.
"That's me," said Diana, laughing.
Amelia Bedelia parked her bike next to Diana and the dogs.
"Guess what? I took your advice," said Diana. "I started my own business, too. Here it is."
She opened her arms to the dogs.
"I loved walking my own dog so much that I decided to do it for a living. Now I'm a professional dog walker and trainer. See how well-behaved they are? Can they do tricks?"
"Sure," said Diana. "But usually I need treats to inspire them, and I'm all out. I'll have to pack more tomorrow."
"Do they like the taste of lemons?"
asked Amelia Bedelia. She took out her lunchbox and gave Diana a tart to taste.
"Amazing! Do you think the dogs would like them?"
Diana broke off a piece of lemony tart and put it on top of Buster's wet nose. He didn't move. He just sat there with a tiny piece balanced on his nose.
"He doesn't like it," said Amelia Bedelia.
"No," said Diana.
"I've trained him well. Watch this."
Diana snapped her fingers. Buster sat up, flipped the piece of tart into the air, opened his mouth, and gulped it right down. He wagged his tail happily. She looked over at the other dogs.
"What about them? Can they try a tart too?"
Then Diana showed her how to make the dog sit and lie down and roll over and jump into the air. When the tarts were all gone, the dogs gazed at Amelia Bedelia and wagged their tails wildly.
"Look at them," said Diana.
"You made lots of furry friends today. They'll never forget your tarts or you." "Thanks, Diana," said Amelia Bedelia. "I love dogs."
She patted them all one last time, got back on her bike, and waved as she rode away. On her way to Pete's diner, Amelia Bedelia took a detour by Wild Bill's Autorama. He wasn't there, so she left a tart for him with a note. She wrote,
"I'm sorry again about the sign. Here is one lemon I hope you'll like. Yours truly, Amelia Bedelia."
When Amelia Bedelia walked into Pete's diner, people turned to look at her. Doris gave her a huge hug.
"Hi, Amelia Bedelia," she said.
Pete came out of the kitchen.
"Look who's here."
Amelia Bedelia sat on a stool at the counter.
"I came to apologize," she said. "You gave me my first job, but I didn't do a very good job at it."
"What's that for?" asked Pete. "Did you bring your own lunch?"
"No," said Amelia Bedelia. "I have a present for you and Doris."
She opened her lunchbox and took out her last two lemon tarts. Pete took one look at the tarts and declared,
"Time for a coffee break."
He poured two cups of coffee, while Doris put the tarts on plates and got two forks.
"Wow, they look terrific," said Doris.
"They taste even better," said Pete.
"Do you really like them?" asked Amelia Bedelia. "You bake such delicious brownies, they're famous."
"A great lemon tart takes a lot of skill. My brownies are a dime a dozen."
"A dime a dozen?" said Amelia Bedelia. "That's a good deal."
She dug deep down into her pocket and pulled out a nickel and put it on the counter.
"I'll take 6 brownies to go."
Doris chuckled.
"Keep your money, Amelia Bedelia. Just bring me 2 dozen of your little lemon tarts every day. I'll pay you 50 cents apiece."
Amelia Bedelia thought it over for at least half a second. Then she gave Doris a thumbs up and Pete her firmest handshake ever.
"You've got a deal."
Amelia Bedelia headed for home. She cut through the park, pedaling as fast as she could. That was when she ran into Suzanne Scroggins. Literally.
Blam!
Both girls were thrown off their bikes. Both bikes crashed to the ground. Amelia Bedelia rolled across the grass and came to a stop at the edge of the flower bed. Suzanne skidded down the sidewalk. Amelia Bedelia dusted herself off, then went to see if Suzanne was okay.
"Are you all right?" asked Amelia Bedelia.
"I guess so," said Suzanne.
"Why did you run into me? Are you trying to wreck my bike?"
"What do you mean?" asked Amelia Bedelia.
"It was an accident."
Suzanne said goodbye to Amelia Bedelia and got back on her bike. But when she tried to pedal away, the wheels made a scraping sound.
"Uh-oh,"
said Amelia Bedelia.
"No problem," said Suzanne. "The bike shop where we got it is right by the park entrance. Do you want to come with me and see if they can fix it?"
Amelia Bedelia and Suzanne walked their bikes over to the bike shop. It was the spokespeople. When the owner of the shop, whose name was Marcus Smith, repaired the wheel, they wandered among the rows of bikes for sale. Above her, hanging from the ceiling, Amelia Bedelia saw a beautiful bike. It was just like Suzanne's, but it was red.
"One day that'll be my bike," she vowed.
"If either of you ladies want a new bike," Marcus said, "this is your chance."
He tapped a poster on the wall behind him. It read, "Annual Downtown Celebration and Bike Parade. First prize, the bike of your dreams."
"Listen to this," said Suzanne as she read the poster. "Decorate your bike for the parade. This year's theme is individuality. The winner can select the bike of her dreams from the spokespeople."
"What kind of decorations can we put on our bikes?"
Marcus shrugged.
"Good question," he said. "Since the theme is individuality, I guess you can do whatever you want."
He spun the wheels on Suzanne's bike. They turned smoothly.
"All done."
As she rode home, Amelia Bedelia got more and more excited about the contest. She told her mom and dad all about it.
"When I win," she said, "I get a free bike, and you won't have to pay for half."
In her excitement, Amelia Bedelia had forgotten all about baking tarts for Pete's.
"Hey, I got a job," she announced. "Pete likes my tarts so much that he wants me to bake 2 dozen a day. He'll sell them at the diner."
"Congratulations," said her mom. "Lots of people go to Pete's. The best advertising is by word of mouth."
"Mom's right," said Amelia Bedelia's father. "You know winning a contest is a long shot."
"Dad, I'm decorating a bike," said Amelia Bedelia. "Not playing basketball."
"Hey," said her dad, "I have an idea. Why don't you decorate your bike like a giant lemon tart? You'll attract more customers and make more money. Then you can buy your bike."
So Amelia Bedelia took her dad's advice. Both sides of the front wheels looked like giant lemon slices. Both sides of the back wheels looked like giant lemon tarts. On her back, Amelia Bedelia wore a sign that looked like a mouth-watering slice of tart. On the slice, she had written, "Try a bite." Next to the word bite, she had cut out a big, toothy bite. To top it all off, Amelia Bedelia constructed a papier-mâché lemon to cover her helmet. It even had a stem and bright green leaves that fluttered in the breeze.
"If I were you," said her dad, "I would take some lemon tarts and hand them out to people as samples."
Amelia Bedelia rode her bike to the town square, where the parade was assembling. Suzanne was already there. When Amelia Bedelia saw Suzanne's bike, she was speechless. Suzanne had woven red, orange, yellow, green, blue, and violet crepe paper into the spokes of her wheels. When they went round, the colors revolved in a spiral into the center of the wheel. It looked like a twirling rainbow. Suzanne had glued glittery stars in the center of both wheels. There were also rainbow-colored streamers flowing out of the end of the handlebars, tiny flags, bunting made out of little paper unicorns, and jingle bells hanging everywhere. On the bright side, Amelia Bedelia was glad that she had not wasted her time trying to compete with Suzanne. Maybe Suzanne would toss her the not new anymore bike as she rode away on her brand new bike. The poster in the bike shop had not mentioned that there was a pet parade, too. Another thing the poster hadn't mentioned was that Wild Bill was the celebrity judge of the bike contest. He was riding with the mayor and Miss Individuality in one of his convertibles at the front of the parade. Now Amelia Bedelia was double glad that she hadn't tried to win. Wild Bill would never pick her in a million years. She peeked under the bright yellow dish towel in her bike basket. There were her lemon tarts, all ready to hand out to people in the crowd as she rode by. Soon it was time for the parade to begin. The non-dog pets followed the convertible. Then came the dogs. Then the kids on their bikes. The crowd cheered and clapped for all of the marchers. As Amelia Bedelia pedaled past one of the dogs, it turned and looked straight at her. Its nose was up in the air and sniffed. Then it began to wag its tail and bark. Amelia Bedelia recognized that dog. It was one of the dogs Diana had been walking, and it had loved the taste of her lemon tarts. Suddenly, a dog on the other side of the street started barking. It had tasted her tarts, too. As Amelia Bedelia rode on, dogs started sniffing, wagging, barking, and straining at their leashes, trying to get as close as possible to her. Amelia Bedelia peeked in her bike basket. The basket was filled with tasty tart tarts, and they smelled delicious. Amelia Bedelia decided then and there that this would be the perfect time to give out her tarts. If she passed them out now, maybe the dogs would leave her alone. Amelia Bedelia looked behind her. Bruno had broken away and was running to catch up with her. Another dog had broken away. Amelia Bedelia pedaled faster. And another and another. It seemed as though all the dogs in town were chasing Amelia Bedelia and her tart tarts. She was weaving in and out of the other bicycles and marchers. She pedaled as fast as she could on her old bike, with her lemon head bobbing wildly. "Faster!" yelled Suzanne, who had seen what was happening. She rode behind Amelia Bedelia, swerving back and forth, trying to keep the dogs away. She had never seen so many dogs. Amelia Bedelia saw Pete and Doris up ahead. She reached into her basket and handed them tarts as she pedaled by.
"Eat them quick,"
she warned. Pete and Doris were too slow. A pair of poodles leaped up and gulp, gulp. Those tarts were history. Amelia Bedelia had almost reached the head of the parade. There were still dogs everywhere. She wasn't sure what to do, but she knew she had to get rid of her tarts. She rode in a loop-de-loop pattern, then in a circle. Then she headed back the way she had come. Everyone was following her. Dogs, their owners, and all of the kids on their decorated bikes. Amelia Bedelia handed out tarts left and right. Some folks actually got a taste. As Amelia Bedelia rode past the convertible, she tossed her tarts to the celebrities. Miss Individuality caught hers with one slender white-gloved hand. The mayor used both hands. Wild Bill was waving his cowboy hat at the crowd. Amelia Bedelia tossed her last tart right into his hat. Bullseye! Amelia Bedelia had run out of tarts just as she had run out of parade. But the dogs were still chasing her. Amelia Bedelia had to keep moving. She circled around and pulled up behind Wild Bill's convertible. She jumped off her bike and let it clatter to the ground. Miss Individuality helped her climb into the back seat of the car. Amelia Bedelia slid down into the seat next to Wild Bill. Woof, woof, woof. The dogs were barking and drooling and circling the convertible. The driver put the car in reverse and backed up. Crunch! The screeching of metal being dragged across pavement brought the entire parade to a halt.
What was that?
asked Wild Bill.
That, said Amelia Bedelia, her eyes brimming with tears, was my bike.
The crowd clapped and cheered. Cars honked their horns. The policeman blew his whistle. All you might say in the spirit of individuality. The mayor managed to make his way to the grandstand. Diana bounded up the stairs onto the grandstand.
"Excuse me, Mr. Mayor," she called out, and she rushed to the microphone.
She blew her whistle with all her might, but mysteriously, there was no sound. All of a sudden, every dog in town froze. Their ears went straight up, and they all turned to look at her. Then they put their tails between their legs, and every single one of them slowly slunk back to its owner. The car horn stopped honking. The kids on their bikes settled down. Everyone was quiet. Everyone moved closer to the grandstand to hear what the mayor had to say. The mayor cleared his throat.
"I'm not sure what happened here today. Would Amelia Bedelia please come up here?"
When Amelia Bedelia heard the mayor say her name, she wanted to climb into the glove compartment and curl up into a little ball. But she didn't. Wild Bill opened the car door for her and walked beside her to the grandstand. Amelia Bedelia wasn't sure what to do. Her tarts had caused this. She was to blame. She was too tired to escape anyway. Besides, it's tough to blend in with a giant lemon stuck on your head. Amelia Bedelia trudged up the stairs to meet the mayor and her doom. Then he brought Amelia Bedelia forward to stand next to him at the microphone.
"I was born and raised here," he said, "so I can safely say this town has seen more excitement in the past 15 minutes than it has in the past 50 years. As your mayor, I want to say that that is a good thing. When it comes to excitement, Amelia Bedelia means business." Everyone knew that they would talk about this day for years to come.
Wild Bill stepped forward to the microphone, his hat in his hand.
"Mr. Mayor, everyone in town knows that I've had my differences with this little lady. However, I've come to admire her spirit. She does things her own way. If something goes wrong, she bounces back and tries again. As far as I'm concerned, no one captures the spirit of individuality better than Amelia Bedelia. I declare her to be the winner of the bicycle contest."
As the crowd cheered, Wild Bill bent down to say to her, "I believe you could use a new bike. Am I right?" Amelia Bedelia nodded and smiled and waved to the crowd. As the clapping died down, Wild Bill reached into his hat and pulled out the lemon tart Amelia Bedelia had tossed in.
Well, that does it for our program today. This Children's Hour program is a production of Audio Journal, a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network. If you would like a hard copy of our program schedule, either in large print or braille, please call 508-797-1117. Archived editions of this program are available on our website, audiojournal.org, or go to the Audio Journal app on your iPhone, iPad, or Android device. I hope you'll join us next week for Children's Hour. If you have any ideas or comments, we'd love to hear from you. I'm Holly Miller. Thanks for listening.
There are more than 1 million English words. Next up, word nerd Steph Donoff with some of them worth talking about.
Some words can be traced back to ancient Greek or Latin or the Middle English of Chaucer's Canterbury Tales or Shakespeare's plays. Then there's codswallop. Yes, I said codswallop. If you think it has something to do with being slapped in your face by a fish, you just might be right. You see, no one really knows where it comes from. Many dictionaries do not even guess at its origin. My favorite guess goes back to England in the late 1800s when beer was often called wallop. The stronger the beer, the stronger the wallop. The story goes that a man named Cod invented a non-alcoholic beer, and it was soon called Cod's Wallop. And it meant then just what it means now. It means nonsense, absurd, or just plain ridiculous. Non-alcoholic beer, Cod's Wallop.
That's enough talk about words. Let's go back to listening to them.